All I can say is, wow, do you guys know how to sing? I don't think I've ever heard congregational singing sound like one major choir. I walked in and it was stunning. You know how to praise God, and what a delight and joy that is. I'm just amazed and thrilled, and man, I can't wait to preach. It's your fault. Okay, if I go longer, it's because of you. You got me warmed up. My wife Kay is with me, and that's a joy, and so you can stand. It's my wife Kay. She's the best half. We had a Russian outreach, and I called her my best half. And there was a Russian lady, dear lady, she and her husband, a terrific couple. And she loved that comment. And she said, you called your wife your better half. And it's absolutely true. Absolutely true. And thank you for being part of the ministry, the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. That's how I got to be here. So thank you for opening your doors to Roy and John before him. What a blessing. Thank you, Pastor. What a blessing. Will you join me in the Word of God to 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What is this world coming to? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Maybe a couple of times through the reading of the newspaper or listening to the newscast. Don't you sometimes just say, what is this world coming to? Well, let's answer that question today. We're going to answer it in three ways. First, what is this world coming to for you and I as believers in Jesus Christ? Number one, what is this world coming to for the church? And dear ones, the answer to that question is the rapture of the church. The next event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. I was doing a series in John 17, and when I came to John 17:24, my heart leapt. The Lord Jesus Christ says to the Father in that high priestly prayer, Father, I will that those you have given me will be with me where I am, that they may see my glory. Dear ones, he wants us to be with him more than we want him to come. And we want him to come. But oh, he wants us there with him more. He's a bridegroom waiting for his bride. For those of you who happened to hear this the other day, I love meeting young couples who are engaged. And they'll tell me, Tim, it's only 345 days until we get married. And then a few weeks later, Tim, it's down to 150 days until we're married. And then I see them again, and Tim, it's down to a week before we get married. And the countdown has begun and now has reached the day of the wedding. Dear ones, our Savior is a beloved bridegroom. He is longing for his bride, you and I, to be with him. He wants to come for us more than we want him to come. And so for the church, our next event that we're looking for is the coming of our Savior, our bridegroom. Following the rapture of the church, let's look at what's coming next for the world. And we'll look at the fact that the world is working for and toward a one world government, a one world economy, and a one world religion. And that will culminate in judgment. Well, look at what's next. What is this world coming to for the Jewish people? And then ultimately, dear ones, what is this world coming to finally? And we get to reign and rule with Jesus Christ. I can't wait to see this world with the curse off. It's beautiful now. Can you imagine the beauty of the world with the curse of sin off? And so those are the four ways we want to look at what this world is coming to, for the church, for the world, for the Jewish people, and then ultimately for nature and creation itself. So let's get going. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you're there. Let's pray, and we'll just begin our time together around the throne of grace. Father, we bow in your presence. We have praised you. And my, what a blessing praising you has been to my own heart and life today in this service. Thank you for giving us a song, a new song in our mouth, even praise to our God. We commit our time to you. Be our teacher. We pray, Father, your word has said, you said, Lord Jesus, that which prohibits and inhibits the word of God from taking root and bearing fruit in our life is the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this life. Father, we pray for Pastor Jeremy's uncle and in the hospital. We ask that you would touch his body. We pray for other needs that are unspoken, unknown, but only to you. You know them. You see them. And God, we lift them in prayer before you. And so, Lord, be our teacher. Open our hearts, our ears, and our eyes. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen and amen. The Lord Jesus said in John 14, verses 1 to 3, these words. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That is a blessed truth, dear ones. And do you know when those truths of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ mean the most? It's when we lose a loved one, whether a spouse, a child, an uncle, an aunt, a loved one, a friend, a mate. When we lose loved ones and we hear the news of their home going, my dear friend, there is a tremendous comfort. And knowing, I know right where they're at. June 23rd, 1984, my father had a massive heart attack. We got the news and our anniversary was just 2 days away. We had only been married at that time about 7 years. It would be our 7th anniversary. We got the news that my dad had had a massive heart attack, and they said, if you want to see him, you better get here. We were 2.5 hours away. And so we went with my sister and brother-in-law. We raced to the hospital. And we got there, and I walked in, and my dad was hooked up to all kinds of machinery. And as I walked in, my dad said, is that you, Timmy? It was a good day. I said, yeah, Dad, it's me, and we're all here. Shortly after walking into that hospital room, the machines began doing all kinds of waves. Shortly thereafter, the hospital personnel were in that room, and the next thing I knew as I walked out, shortly after that, the doctor came and said, your dad has passed away. That night, as my mom was calling friends and other family, she said, "We lost Fred today." And when Mom finished her phone call, I said, "Mom, we didn't lose Dad, okay? We know right where he's at. We know he's in glory. He walked through those gates with a Savior that he has served and loved for his life." And dear ones, that brings hope. We are not. Did that give you time to find 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? Look with me at verse 13. "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren." Stop right here. When Paul says, "I don't want you to be ignorant," it's like they are ignorant, so let's not let that ignorance exist and last. "I do not want you to be ignorant." It's the very word, ignorant. Agnosis, agnos. Guess what word comes from that? Agnostic. Agnostic comes from this word. "I don't want you to be ignorant," without knowledge. "I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of this, concerning those who have fallen asleep," i.e. who have passed away, "lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." Underscore that. We are not as those who have no hope. I have conducted funerals for those who have no hope. I don't like it, because they never trusted Jesus Christ. We didn't know where they're going. Oh, yes, we do know where they're going. Dear ones, heaven or hell, that's it. There's one of two. That's it. It matters what you believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved for this life and for eternity. And so Paul has an intention to, first of all, inform. His informing them is, when we lose a loved one, we know right where they're going if they know Jesus Christ. Doesn't that give you hope and help today? Aren't you? How many of you have someone in heaven today? Can I see your hands? Doesn't that give you hope and help? We're going to see them again in a new day, in a better way, and we'll never say goodbye. We'll never say goodbye. And so Paul says, "Here is my intention. I want to make sure you understand that those who pass away, we know where they're at, who have no hope. For it's since we believe," that word "if" is "since," "for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again," and that is what we believe, "even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Now comes the information. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord," that number one, this is God's revelation. This information that Paul is giving comes from God. Here is what God is saying to you in the first century, to us in the 21st century. "This we say by the word of the Lord." It is authoritative. It is absolutely true. "This we say by the word of the Lord." It's a revelation. Had God not given it to us, we wouldn't know. But he did give it to us, so we can know. The revelation by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. How many of you want to be alive when the Lord Jesus comes? Can I see your hand? Amen. I want to cheat that undertaker, my friend. I want to have the Lord Jesus Christ come, and I want to be walking down the street, working in the yard, preaching a message. I want him to come and take me out. and take him to be with him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I want to have him come in my lifetime. For those of us who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep, who have passed away. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. In the margin of your Bible right here, if you're taking notes, God bless you. Matthew 25. The virgins, the first of those parables in Matthew 25, the parable of the virgins, the wise and the foolish. There is a shout that comes. Behold, the bridegroom comes. That's what they've been waiting for. And the wise were prepared and the foolish were not prepared for the coming. And those who were not prepared never got to enter the celebration with the bridegroom. Now, we who have lost loved ones, whether in the first century in Thessalonica or the 21st century here at Scheinfeld, Mennonite Church, our loved ones are going to be raised first. Mortal, and I love the way Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 15, when he says, mortal puts on immortality. Then weakness will put on power. And temporal will put on eternal. The new body. I can't wait. I'm going to have hair. Someone looked at our prayer card earlier and they said, Tim, you got to get a new prayer card. This one, you have hair. Thank you so much for noticing. Oh, dear ones, we're going to have a new body. One, and it's going to be this body made new, okay? It is the same as our Savior. They recognized the Lord Jesus in the upper room. Remember when he walked in without the doors being open? He walked in, shocked the wits out of them. And then he did what every preacher would do. Do you have anything to eat? Pastor Jeremy said, would you mind staying with us to eat? I said, no, Pastor, not at all. Anytime I'm eating, it's a good day. The Lord Jesus, do you have anything to eat? And he ate. Now, dear ones, in the rapture of the church, it will take place so fast. According to General Electric, when they did a time study, how you do this, I have no idea, but I remember Jack Van Impe talking about it, so it's got to be right. They did a time study on a twinkling of an eye. You know how fast a twinkling of an eye is? 1/1000th of a second. Just think of that, in 1/1000th of a second, and the count at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. Stop right there. He's coming in the air for us. He raises us up, and we get to go be with him forever. The bridegroom coming for his bride. And that's who we are as the church of the body of Jesus Christ. We are his body. We are his bride. We are his building. And through that building and bride and body, he is using us to battle for him until he comes. Now, he continues. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain. All of this happens in 1/1000th of a second, dear ones. 1/1000th of a second. Dead rise. Living rise. Together. there's going to be a reunion in the air. My dad was a Gideon, and he, for a long time, kept asking me to join him on a Saturday morning to go to the men's prayer breakfast with him. Finally, I relented, and I said, Dad, I'll be happy to go. And once I started going, it was like, why did I take so long? There were some godly men there, folks, godly men. Carl Hafner, who was a lay preacher who loved the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend Smith Lauterman, who came to hear me preach the first, one of the first messages ever. That man deserves a special crown just for that. And he came and he taught me how to talk Missourian. Missourian. He said, Tim, it's not Missouri, it's Missouri. It ain't morning, it's moaning. He taught me how to talk Missourian. But what a godly man. Carl Hafner. John Brown put his tip in my coffee cup, and it still had coffee in it. But oh, what a man of God. Dear ones, how about you? Who are the people you're looking forward to seeing again? Perhaps missionaries you have supported, pastors that you know, family and friends that mean so much to you. We're going to be reunited in the air. What does the song say? There's going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. And what a day that's going to be. A great reunion from the first century until at least the 21st century. We know he hasn't come yet, don't we? But he's coming. And that is what is ahead for the Church of Jesus Christ, dear friends. So don't let this old world get you down. Look up. Because it could be today. Now, let's finish this section. With the trump of God and the dead in Christ raised first, we who are alive will be caught up. There's your word, rapture. Caught up, harpazoed, lifted out, snatched away, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, club one another with these words. Is that what the Word of God says? Dear ones, God did not put the return of the Lord Jesus into his Word to argue over. There are three basic views, four actually. There is the pre-tribulational rapture. That is that before the tribulation can occur, we have to be taken out. That is the view we hold at Friends of Israel. I hold personally. That is that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming first for us to take us to be with him. Second, mid-tribulational, that he'll come in the middle of the tribulation. Third, post-tribulation, that the church goes through the tribulation period. And finally, our former executive director came up with a fourth, and that is what he called the pre-wrath rapture of the church. But dear ones, the main thing is this: wherefore comfort one another with these words. I preached this very message one Sunday night. And the next Sunday, I was filling the pulpit for a pastor for 2 weeks while he was on vacation. The next week, I went to church, and it was Sunday school, and a couple came up to me and said, Tim, I've got to talk to you about that message last Sunday night. It's like, oh, Lord, I'm coming home. But it was wonderful. They said, you know, you said last Sunday night that our last breath on earth is our first breath in heaven. Monday night, my husband's mom passed away and went to glory. And the very first words that came to our mind when we heard the news of her passing were your words. Our last breath on earth is our first breath in heaven. How could we weep? She's home. She's home. Same morning, another man came up to me. I've got to talk to you about your message, Tim. Oh, Lord, I'm coming home, part two. And he said, Tim, last week when you talked in your message, you told how when we pass away and we go to glory, that God provides us with a temporary body that's perfect and not made with hands. He said, one of our loved ones died in battle overseas. His casket came home. And it said, do not open. In your message, it brought comfort to my heart because our loved one knew Christ. He's got a pot, he's got a body that's whole. Perfect. Perfect. See what it means, dear ones? Do you see what that means? When our loved ones pass away, if they pass away and they know Jesus Christ, they're at home. And we'll see them again. We're not saying goodbye. As my mom said, Tim, it's not goodbye. It's good night. We'll see them again in the morning. Oh, aren't you glad for that morning? That's what's waiting for us, dear ones. That is what this world is coming to for us. So as you listen to the news, hear the news, see what's going on, let it lift your heart and eyes to him and say, he's coming soon. He's coming soon. And it could be today. Following the rapture of the church, join me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians now chapter 2. Oy, oy, oy. What is this world coming to for the world? Well, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look with me at verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. The return of the Lord Jesus will not come until the falling away comes first, and the man of sin, the day of the Lord. Verses 1 and 2. Verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of the Lord, following the rapture of the church, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Falling away is a simple word, apostasia. It's the word apostasy. Are we seeing an apostasy today? Oh man, are we seeing an apostasy. When I worked in the bank in Grand Rapids, after I went to school at Grand Rapids School of the Bible and Music, met my wife there, we got married, and she had a job, and I got a job in a bank. There was a church in town in Grand Rapids called Fountain Street Church. At Fountain Street Church, the pastor was well known. His name was Dr. Duncan Littlefair, and it was well known for being a bastion of liberal theology. One day, Dr. Duncan Littlefair came to my window, and I looked at his check, and I looked at him, and I looked at his check again, and it's like, oh, so you're the guy I've heard so much about. Dr. Duncan Littlefair. I mean, Littlefair. I didn't say that to him. I just thought it, okay? Yeah, an apostasy. A departure from the truth. A departure from the revealed word of God. Dear ones, you and I hold in our book, in our hands this book that is sufficient to guide us through life, take us to glory, let us live eternally with him. This book is able to do that, but if you depart and remove yourself from this book, you're on your own. And you don't want to be there in that day. For you see, in the book, it says that the next event following the rapture of the church will be the coming of the Antichrist. The Antichrist goes by various names in Scripture. In fact, there's a couple here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at it with me. Verse 4. Paul says that this one who is called the man of sin, who is revealed, the son of perdition, the son of judgment, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So number one, this one who is being revealed will come as a world ruler, a leader. He will come on the world scene with all the answers. He will be persuasive. He will be appealing. and he will be a liar. I want you to see something about this one. Keep your finger in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want you to see something about this one who is coming. He is coming on the world scene, and he will be motivated, directed, empowered by none other than Satan. Look at me at verse number 4. So they worshiped the dragon, i.e. Satan, who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? I want you to see something very important. Go back up to verse number 2. Same, Revelation 13. Thank you. Revelation 13, verse 2, Revelation 13, 4, he has authority, but I want you to see something very important. In Revelation 13, verse 2, the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and, underscore this next phrase, great authority. You know, that sounds really good, doesn't it? He's got great authority, but you want to see who has more? Matthew 28. 18. The Lord Jesus Christ said, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. So, do you want a ruler who has some authority or all authority? Do you want one that would be a true leader? Loving leader, faithful leader, humble leader? Or do you want one who will be full of blasphemy, anger, and is ultimately an imposter? Who do you want? Jesus Christ has all authority, not some, all. He is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, move back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Bible teaches that the Antichrist is going to come on the world scene. The Bible teaches that there are 7 years of the tribulation period. 7 years. How do we know that? Don't turn there. Daniel 9:27. It's the last of the 70-week vision that Daniel received in Daniel 9. 7 years divides 3.5 years. Now, the second thing, not only is this world leader coming on the world scene, he'll be a world leader, a one world government. It will have a one world economy. A few years ago at the Bilderberg conference, there was a coin unveiled that one of the nations there said this will be the future world currency. So the world is even talking about a one world government. They're called globalists. You ever heard of those people? Globalists. Guy by the name of Klaus Schwab running an organization called the World Economic Forum. All right. Dear ones, it's coming faster than you and I can believe. But what's coming first? The rapture of the church. We got to be taken out before that one world government and that Antichrist will be revealed. What's next for the world at large? Not only a one world government and a one world economy, but a one world religion. I was in Minnesota. I was ministering in a conference, and I was staying in a home of a gentleman, and he said, Tim, you talk tonight about a one-world religion. He said, you and I are going to have an interesting conversation. So we got home after the service, and he gave me my refreshment, my bowl of ice cream. And we're eating our ice cream, and he said, Tim, when you talked about a one-world religion, I was golfing out west with a guy by the name of Bishop Bill Swing. And he told me as we were golfing that his desire was to establish a one-world religion that would have religiously the same kind of power and influence that the UN has politically. And he said, Tim, I said to him, don't you know that's what the book of Revelation teaches? He said to me, he said, Bill Swing said to me, Mike, you can take that book, rip it out of your Bible, and put it in your back pocket. That is what this world is coming to. Here is a man, and you can look up and see how it is progressing. It is called the United Religions Initiative, United Religions Initiative, URI. URI. United Religions Initiative. The Antichrist, according to Revelation chapter 12, will come on the world scene and will, in the middle of the tribulation, cut off all sacrifice from the temple in Israel. What's ahead for the Jewish people in the coming days? Well, dear ones, first a day of darkness, then there will be a day of light. That's what's coming for the Jewish people. This one who will be revealed to be the Antichrist will turn and begin a vicious attack and assault on Jewish people. According to Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8, two-thirds of the Jewish population of planet Earth will die. Two-thirds will die in the tribulation period. In Zechariah 13, 8. Israel will be on the verge of destruction, and then Jesus comes. That's Zechariah chapter 12. Oh, dear ones, at the point that it looks like Israel and the Jewish people will be annihilated, the Lord Jesus Christ comes in power and glory. Revelation 13 asks a very intriguing question. Who can make war against the Antichrist? You want to see who can make war with the Antichrist? That's Revelation 19, 11 through chapter 20. You want to see? It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself coming in power, glory, on his robe is a vesture written. His name is called Faithful and True. He has his own private name that only he himself knows. He's faithful and true. And he will crush the Antichrist. He will crush the nations who come against Israel. And as he comes, Israel and the Jewish people, don't take my word for it. Join me in Zechariah chapter 12, would you please? Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. So find the book of Malachi. Go back two pages to Zechariah chapter 12. Look at me or Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. God says, I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son. Oh, dear ones, what will look like the end of Israel is only her mere beginning, for she will become born again. All Israel will be saved. In the margin of your Bible, right here, please write down Romans 11, 25 to 27. Because in Romans 11, 25 to 27, the Apostle Paul talks about the fact that all Israel will be saved. What does that mean? Thank you for asking. What does it mean? It means that Israel alive when the Lord Jesus Christ returns in power and glory, and the nations think they have Israel. Satan thinks they have Israel right where they want them, to destroy and annihilate them forever. The Lord Jesus Christ comes and they look on him whom they have pierced. And you know what they say? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they believe, and they ask him to be their savior. And in one day, a nation is born. Indeed, a nation is born again. All Israel will be saved in that day. What a day that's going to be. I remember hearing Dr. Reynold Showers, our international representative, preach in this passage. And he began to weep as he talked about the day the Jewish people will be rescued, delivered, and saved. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. So, dear ones, lift up your eyes. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. And until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy, I'll carry on. Until that day, my eyes behold the Savior. Until that day, when God calls me home, we'll be serving him. Thank you for the privilege of being with you today. Dear ones, it would be unfair if you've never trusted Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friend, would you do that today? Would you do it today, right here, right where you're sitting? If you've never trusted the Savior, do it today. You know what Satan's time frame is? Oh, that's a good idea. Do it tomorrow. Do it tomorrow. Until the tomorrow is run out. Do it today. That's God's time frame. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Thank you for the privilege of being with you today, Pastor Jerem. You want to stand and be dismissed? You guys have a love for the Jewish people, and you have such a great singing voice. I'm going to let you lead us. Are we going to get to eat now?
We'll have a benediction after.
Oh, we're going to let you benedict. All right. So we're going to let, before you go eat, we're going to stop, and I'm going to give you a cross-cultural experience. All right? Here we go. This is Praising God in Hebrew. You know the song, Blessed Be the Name, Blessed Be the Name, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. Okay? That is three words in Hebrew. Hebrew, yeah, Hebrew. Just as it is in English. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name in Hebrew is Baruch Hashem Adonai. Would you say that with me? Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch, one more time. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Last time, Baruch Hashem Adonai. Fantastic. You did a great job. Now, let's lift our voices together. And it goes like this. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem Adonai. Now that you got it down, let's do it one more time together. And don't worry, you got great voices. So just lift it up to the Lord in prayer and pray, shall we? Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem Adonai, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Let him sit down. Be seated, please. Thank you, Pastor.